from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
92.9 FM, ESPN.
Step underground methods. God notch holes, get the most, not the lizard. Straight terror, product of your errors. Pushing country,
got that product. Got some fun news today, a little bit later on the show. Hitman Hoops is going to be making his first appearance on radio.
Hey,
he's going to be doing it with us at 12:25. First question is going to be, why you keep busting everybody's ass, man? Damn. Slow down. Mine included. Okay? I mean, I will say, we were talking about it a little earlier. Yeah, I'm just glad I'm not on the beat writing duties because I wouldn't be sleeping. I get to like kind of come in and when I get something, and then I get to pop back out. It's not I don't
yeah,
have that
kind
like,
of more like columnist these
right.
days.
I don't have that responsibility writing. Of like you know staying on top of it because nobody is on is on top.
Maybe y'all should bring him in with head bustle
something, man. He is
bring some head bustles.
Look, Parr does a great job. Munz does a great job. Hitman's doing football now. It's like, my God, man.
He just flexed with that one.
Yeah. So he'll join us at 12:25, and we'll talk to him about the Stansberry development that he reported on. Is Stansberry back?
Right.
What's the standing there? Arterio Morris, things like that, and more. So he'll join us at 12:25. Looking forward to that. Everybody around this time, we got to do the rundown. Let's go.
It's the rundown with the biggest stories of the day from Jason and John on 92.9 FM ESPN. First story.
All right, we have some college football tonight. Yes, we do, buddy.
Plenty of it.
We have some FCS versus FBS. I guess the big game tonight that's most interesting, although there are, I think, there is a Power 5 matchup, right? Carolina-Minnesota, but nobody cares about that. I mean, that's not one I'm interested in. It's Colorado and North Dakota State.
Yeah.
That's the one. I mean, North Dakota State, obviously, FCS. I think they have a new coach, so they're kind of starting over in some ways. And it's, you know, it's the debut of Prime Season 2. I will tell you this. I did bet it. I think I might have said this already, but I bet under 61, and that number is now down to 57.5. You know, I keep telling you guys that I move numbers. You don't believe me. It's just the truth.
Still don't.
So now that number is 57.5. I mean, I would kind of lean toward Colorado because I think North Dakota State has some injuries. They're kind of banged up. And Deion has talked about really being better defensively, like his defensive line he's raved about. He said that's probably the group that's improved the most in the offseason. They've got some NFL guys.
Sure.
Yeah, but don't know. Don't know. We'll have to see that. I, at any rate, I like the under in this game. It is the most interesting of the night, isn't it?
Well, yeah, just because it's two top 10 NFL prospects in it, too.
That's true.
We can talk about Deion and the sort of polarizing figure that he is, and we're rooting for him, we're rooting against him. But the fact is, you got two of the best players in college football on the field one time.
Yep.
That's why you're watching Colorado, Travis and Shadur.
Yes. So you have that. You have
Travis still doing it. Both sides playing as many snaps as he played last year.
Sure he is.
I just wonder, after talking with agents in an offseason, if going like that is still the best thing for his career. Remember, he was maxed out last year. We'd never see anything like it in terms of number of snaps on both sides of the field. So, I mean, he's a watch. He's a draw just on his own.
Yes, he is. In terms of your in conference, Alcorn State at UAB. UAB is a, I believe, 28.5-point favorite in this one.
These are all lopsided.
Alcorn State is down from where they typically are. And it's interesting, I did see some comments from Trent Dilfer this week where, you know, they hit the portal pretty hard in May, brought in 9 new guys, and 5 of them are Power 5 guys from a year ago.
Cool.
You know, they played at, you know, Minnesota and Carolina and Ole Miss.
Sure.
And he's excited. He says, you know, I know everybody says their team is good, but there's a new energy in our building right now. So I do think UAB probably rolls tonight. Tulane also in action. They're playing Southeastern Louisiana. Again, they're rolling with redshirt freshman Darian Mensah at quarterback.
Get a look at him.
Yeah. I assume they'll play all three just because it's, you know, Southeastern Louisiana. But, you know, they are picking the redshirt freshman who's never thrown a pass. He has never thrown a pass in college football, and he is getting the nod there, beating out the transfer from Oregon, which is kind of interesting. Like, don't know if I would have projected that. I don't think many people did.
No.
I think people expected the Oregon transfer. But at any rate, that's college football tonight. Again, it's a Thursday, so you're not getting the best of the best. That's
I mean, you got a ranked Missouri team in the SEC's playing, you know. You get a first look at some of those teams.
Yeah.
You're speaking of NFL talent, that'd be that receiver.
Yeah.
Luther.
Yes. What game would you say of the weekend, obviously Memphis, outside of Memphis, what game would you say you're most intrigued by?
It's between Clemson, Georgia, and then more, I think I'm going to go ahead and put it higher, the Notre Dame, Texas A&M game, just because the stakes for Notre Dame in that one. Notre Dame's got a chance to be in the college football playoff. To do it, they got to win this game. We've talked about it with Brettman Murphy. He agreed with me that this is essentially a playoff game for them because of what we saw from Florida State, who's also on their schedule, a little bit down, maybe not going to be the top 10 team you thought they were going to be. They've got Georgia Tech on the schedule, but we don't know what they'll, you know, what Georgia Tech will amount to. The point is, this might be, in terms of getting impressive wins, remember, they can't win a conference championship, might be about as good as it gets. So you got to go down there and win. You've got the whole Elko Riley Leonard thing going. And so I'm going to put that one, in terms of my interest level, a little bit higher than Clemson, Georgia. Although I want to see if Dabo's going to come out here and, you know, prove it on the field. Give us something newsworthy that's happening on the football field as opposed to your stance on transfer portal or, you know, telling fans you ain't taking no more call-ins on your call-in show.
Yeah.
Let's go make some news on the football field like you used to do.
Yeah. So
I used to root for Dabo, man, when he was all shucks Dabo.
Right.
But now he's Dabo that knows college football better than y'all, Dabo that's not going to adjust to the rest of the way. And maybe some dig that, you know, him digging in, but not me. I sense a guy who's changed, who the success has changed him.
Yeah.
And I don't mean in a good way.
Yeah, I think for me, it's LSU versus USC on Sunday.
That's good. I guess. Yeah, I'm not as good as the other two.
I'm going to just give you a different one.
Draw me in.
Well, obviously, LSU is replacing everything. You know, they no longer have Jaden Daniels. He now plays for Caleb's Nails. So he has moved on. And also Malik Nabers. So they're replacing quite a bit. They do have the best offensive line in college football, though. People love Garrett Nussmeier. I was talking to my neighbor. Shout out to my neighbor, Bob. Great dude. He loves LSU. He says that he compares him to Brett Favre, that he's got a cannon like Favre. I guess you base that on one bowl game. But Bob is definitely going to have the setup going on Sunday. I'll be out there watching it.
Excellent.
I explained to him that all the sharps have been hammering USC all offseason. He doesn't want to hear it. You know, I don't know. Bob's just having a hard time with the truth.
He's not scared of that USC defense.
Well, here's the thing. Here's what's interesting about that. Alex Grinch got fired, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's now at Wisconsin. They bring in a brand-new defensive coordinator, De'Anton Lynn, and, you know, we'll see.
We've been waiting and seeing for a long time.
Yeah, who's the USC? It's Moss, right? Miller Moss is the quarterback. He looked pretty good in his action last year. I get why you would want to take a USC plus 4.5, though. I understand it because, you know, I guess maybe not 4.5, but when it was at 6.5, like, I'm just not really sure how you lose the amount of production that you lose if you're Brian Kelly and come back as a, you know, 6.5, 7-point favorite. I guess was it on a neutral? I mean, I just don't really know how you quite get there. That's a lot. I mean, what, 5,000 yards, 50 touchdowns from Jaden Daniels and his top two receivers, by the way. I didn't even mention Brian Thomas, Malik Nabers and Brian Thomas. Yeah, you got a good offensive line. But are you really going to be out here running up scores with a guy that we've seen one game of sample size from with Nussmeier?
It's good.
Yeah. I'm just not buying it. I'm not buying it at all. So I'll take old Lincoln Riley.
Getting points. I did. I don't trust him.
It's a new era.
I know a new defense coordinator. Seemed like every year it's been awful.
No, they kept dude. That's the problem. They kept the
Grinch.
Yeah, they kept them for a year too long, and you know now. I mean, again, it's a look. They have been so bad defensively.
The entire time under Riley, so.
But don't you think that
I'll
was
buy
like
it when I
that
see
was like
it.
The focus?
And
like,
it's still this is the SEC.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna lean SEC again. I know how you get.
But it's
don't
Big Ten
take this
now.
Personal.
It's Big Ten.
And I have no real investment.
I'm
rooting for you.
This is not the Big Pac-12 anymore. This is the Big Ten.
But I think Bob gonna get you.
You see, this is the
just because they switch over.
No, you
don't
thinking
mean
about this,
you
like
automatically
Pac-12
become
versus
a
SEC
Big Ten team.
Yeah, that's what you
like.
Doing.
Stop.
No, they the Big.
It is still a Pac-12 team, bruh.
It's a Big Ten team. It's a big. The Pac-12 is dead, bro.
Their essence is not Big Ten yet. They're coming, yeah, but their style is still Pac-12.
What if it's more Big Ten than you think?
Show me some defense. Show me some Big Ten.
So you'll lay the 4.5.
There's a little bit of defense in the Big Ten.
You'll lay the 4.5. You can't wait to lay the 4.5.
I knew you again, anytime I push back, and it's only really just to play devil's advocate half the time, this dude takes it so personal.
That's right.
You know what?
This is in Vegas.
You want to make it personal? I'm going to side with Bob.
This is,
and you're going to make me root for him. I was rooting for you, thinking Bob is going to get us.
You're
going to put me on the side of Bob, rooting against you.
You're rolling with neighbor Bob.
When you take it, and I literally, I say, don't take it personal.
Right. So it's you and Bob versus me.
I think on this one, me and Bob all LSU, baby.
Yeah, it's in Vegas.
Go Tigers.
So that's
you
that's
said a, it was neutral.
That's a
yep.
fun one.
Yeah, that's a little haul for us. What's up? Yeah, no, it's a haul for
us. Maybe way more USC fans.
This is easy LSU, right?
That's a haul for us. When did we get out there? You told me that stuff matters.
Well, when it's all international, not when it's...
No, when did we get out there? This is still a trip to Vegas. We have to actually roll out. That's nothing for USC, but we have to actually make a trip.
Yeah, but I mean, we're not going to Dublin, bro, where there's a time change.
But it's still Vegas, bro. Yeah. We can get in a lot of trouble out there.
Yeah, you can. No, if you get there too soon, it's going to be trouble.
Let's not act like we probably got a bunch of saints.
That's right. No, LSU, listen, I think it's going to be a fantastic game.
I think
game.
In that one, if you get out there too early, you might be in trouble.
It opened at 6. It's been hit down to 4.5.
I'm just kidding, man. I'm rooting for you.
I don't have a bet on it. I don't have a bet on it. I'm just saying I would lean toward USC.
You have a bet on this one, and you're getting antsy.
I probably will. I probably will bet it because I just like action. You know what I'm saying? By the time the game rolls around and it's a Sunday afternoon, we ain't got to work the next day, I'm going to get some action on it. There's no question about
it. I already know.
But should be a fun one. I'm looking forward to it. See, that's a good game on a Sunday. That's a really, really, you know, it's a standalone game. So they're taking advantage of that last weekend with no NFL football.
Very smart.
As they should. So anyway, we will have some football tonight. Colorado is the main event against North Dakota State.
Next story.
Athletic did a pretty interesting survey. 31 essentially agents interviewed, their sixth annual NFL agent survey, and they asked things such as best run franchise, worst run franchise, those types of things. Asked some Mahomes and some Dak type questions. But I thought that we might start, and I like doing these with John occasionally. I mean, best run franchise is probably not, you know, you'll guess the top three easy. But in terms of on worst-run franchises, the way they phrased it, most unstable, 31 responses. Who do you think got the most? Who's the most dysfunctional franchise in football?
I mean, it would have to be the Raiders.
You're second. I would have loved if you were first, and I was kind of setting it up that way. You got the second most votes, 7.
Charlotte.
It's the Panthers.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's Carolina.
Did you?
I swear I got an in cheat.
Brad's been good at these the last 2 days.
Yeah, we're going to have to see what...
Well, they can't draft, and they made that crap trade with the Bears. Like, the Bears absolutely murdered
them. There's also that sexual assault stuff or the sexual harassment stuff.
With the previous owner?
Yeah. Does that go into it? I think it's a new owner.
I would just wanted to make sure.
I think it was.
Yeah, it was the previous.
I love Ryan Poles, by the way, on that subject. The Bears heisted him.
He's looking like he might be pretty good.
He's smooth.
Do you mind if I read the Raiders stuff? I kind of set it up for that.
I know what it is.
The owner, Mark Davis, frequently makes significant changes. He put Josh Daniels and Dave Ziegler in charge and fired them after less than two seasons. Now the Raiders have an inexperienced coach in Antonio Pierce and a retread GM hire in Tom Telesco. Organizations start at the top, and Davis doesn't provide stability. One more, traditional choices in this category like Washington and Arizona have improved or appear headed in a good direction. Vegas keeps making changes and now finds itself without an apparent quarterback of the future or a legitimate starter when it needed one following last season. A couple other votes got Cardinals on here. Said they're locked into Kyler Murray, and that says they're stuck as a result of it. I better hope he's good.
Yeah.
Which franchise had the best offseason? You haven't looked at these, right?
No, I'm not.
Good.
Best offseason?
Yes. It's not Bears. Although we were tied for third most votes.
That's a damn good one. Who did have a good offseason in the NFL this year?
I assume it's
not just about on the field, or it is mostly about on the field. And when you're evaluating the answer to this question.
Also, in terms of what you did, in terms of coaching, hires, I mean, that kind of gives it away. But yes, it counts. They counted moves that you made.
It's Seattle.
No.
No, no.
Coaching moves.
Now, this is best off season.
Interesting.
Seattle's not.
They made a coaching move. That's why I went for that.
Yeah. Well, we have seven. I think we had seven. We've narrowed down a little bit here. Chargers made a move. It's the Commanders. I don't know if we would have gotten there.
I would not.
Agents love Dan Quinn. They'd love what they did in the Jaden Daniels pick. Think he might be the best guy in the draft. I told you, Bears got some votes as well, but the Commanders had. 8 votes. Texans were next with 6. Going after Stephon Diggs. Some folks thought that was smart.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
I guess they didn't just do that either, though. Joe Mixon as well. So they made a couple of moves
really good.
Could end up being really, really good for them. Will the Cowboys, I thought this was interesting, and 2025 free agent quarterback Dak Prescott agreed to a contract extension. 31 agents replied. This one was closer than I thought it would be. John and I have said hell to the no. Dak Prescott shouldn't sign during the season. Go get yourself on the open market. You know Jerry Jones doesn't want to pay you top dollar, and we're talking top dollar could be 60-plus. That's what folks like Adam Schefter have said. So it seems like a no-brainer. However, closer than I thought, 18 said yes, that Dak will re-sign. 13 said no. I'm surprised by that.
Man, the leverage that play. You guys got this.
That more agents than not thought Dak will re-sign. I don't like it. I don't think it's smart.
No.
If Dak wants to go back, wait till you hit the open market. Then make Jerry match.
Exactly.
You know, you can show the loyalty then. But this is your time. Absolutely right now. I thought there's another one in here. You know, they do best talent evaluators in terms of GMs. John Schneider, the Seahawks, to your point, they love him. He's number one. He's tied with Brett Veach, the Chiefs GM, who we know is held up, revered at this point. There was one more that I thought was interesting, and it applied to Jeffrey's team. They asked about the Hard Knocks. Remember that you and I talked a lot about the Giants offseason one when John was out. We both watched it. I came away liking it. Were you was with me? I thought after the first one,
after seeing how smooth Poles and his staff work, I think the Giants look like a mess, especially for the double down on Daniel Jones. They look like morons because they're building everything around a quarterback who looks like a freaking dud.
What he just said is important, that Brad thinks they look like morons because there were agents that agree with you.
Really?
That the Giants opened up too much.
There was a lot in there, and they made themselves look silly with their negotiation style, the Saquon stuff.
One of them said, I loved it. I know how it works, but seeing the business behind the scenes for the ordinary fan is very cool. The Shane Saquon talks, pre-draft interviews with quarterbacks at the board. I was surprised the Giants were that open. Here's the other side, though. It's probably a choice the Giants regret. They revealed too much. This portrayal will be something other teams will consider in the future and not do in terms of their GM. You know, what they made abundantly clear, they were trying to trade up with the Patriots to go up there and get Drake May. He was on the phone with the Patriots, who said no, but you make it clear to Daniel Jones and everybody else in that locker room, but particularly to Daniel Jones, brother, you were ready to move on.
Yep.
You know, that you have no confidence.
Yes. No doubt.
And so you revealed that you didn't have to. And so while I loved it because of those reasons, the Saquon talk, we even heard his Saquon conversation on the phone, they are absolutely right. Like, this was the first front office Hard Knocks we saw. If we get another front office Hard Knocks, we're going to get that same whitewashing we've seen of the regular ones, where you don't get any true storylines, trade talk. You don't get the nuts and bolts like we were getting. They're probably right. Shane probably showed them too much.
He also made like a Senior Bowl day trade while they're sitting on the sideline, essentially, with the Panthers. I mean, it was... I think he seems like an impressive guy, but there was some silly stuff. The groupthink also. Like, they had 20 assistants in that room when they were there on draft day, and they all were on the phone, like, making deals.
One agent said this, embarrassing to the organization.
I agree with
it. It will easily justify mass firings when they go 4-13.
I think that's a fact. Because the Bears have done the opposite. I watch the Bears and I go, damn, that is a slick operation.
Are you in favor of NFL turning to an 18-game schedule? Again, these are agents, so that response is not going to matter as much. But 16 of them said no. 14 said yes. There you go.
Interesting.
The annual NFL agents
That's good.
Survey from The Athletic. Some we expected, like the Raiders being one of the most dysfunctional
franchises.
Well, the
question is, would it...
Some a surprise, like the Commanders' offseason agents really loved it.
Would it equate to higher salaries, I assume? Because it's one more game,
1,000%.
Yeah, so I'm surprised at 14.
Me too.
Said no.
That they were against it, but it also equates to more possibility of your client getting hurt.
That's true. I mean, that is true. It's a physical game, and
as a result, you're going to have to take a preseason game off. Right, we're going to 18. Everybody said we're going to two preseason games, not three.
And what that also does is it also hurts the guys that are like on the fringe, like because they have less opportunities in game to show. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you only have two preseason games, you only have three now. You used to have four. So now these guys that are on the fringe, like, I watched a couple guys on the fringe this weekend score touchdowns, look good, and they didn't make the team still. And that's with, three.
I would ask you, do we need to consider, if you're going to 18, why we got to stay at 53?
Right.
What's this stuck on 53 that we're adding games on and we can't move off, we can't add a couple more spots?
Yeah.
Like, come on.
That's fair, man.
Like, you could do that, too, pretty easily.
Yeah.
And add to some depth so that you can, sustain over an 18-game season where you're going to lose guys inevitably.
The NFL is probably trying to control payroll because they can keep these practice squad cats at a few thousand bucks and then have these million, these $25 million signing bonus guys. I mean, the Bears are keeping three quarterbacks, but... No, you probably save on money being out there from the owners.
I thought I saw him cut Rippon today.
Are they going to two?
Yeah, they cut Rippon.
No kidding.
He's now a Viking.
Good for him.
So they're
He's
only
good.
Keeping two.
They cut him and who's the fourth guy?
Reed had been
Reed.
Cut. Yeah, Austin Reed.
Okay, yeah.
He'd been cut. That was news to me, though. Rippon, I think that must have been a corresponding move. I think they picked the guy up.
Yeah.
And they must have had a cut.
Wow.
Shoot.
Because Rippon got immediately picked up by the Vikings.
Dude, I wanted to keep him, man.
Because the Vikings cut Jaren Hall to pick up Rippon.
Of course.
Kevin O'Connell's like, whoa!
Rippon was great.
Yeah, he looked good. He
did. Very good.
And he's been, he's been...
Ran the offense.
Exactly. So...
Yep.
Good stuff there on that agent survey. I enjoy those surveys quite a bit, just to know what the world thinks. All right, we'll come back. Hey, Hitman Hoops is going to join us.
Excellent.
So we'll talk to him about his reporting and the latest with Memphis basketball. Stick around. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
92. My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame.
Two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly, beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
29 FM, ESPN.
This is probably long overdue, but we're here today, and that's all that matters. Hitman Hoops is busting heads. Memphis basketball analyst on X, Hitman Hoops, and he's making his radio debut with us now. Hitman, how we doing? Welcome to the show.
I'm good, man. Glad to be on.
So, a lot to get to today. Obviously, all news reported by you. But before we get into that, who are you?
You know who I am. John Martin in his prime. John Martin in his prime, reincarnated.
Wow. See, this is what he does. He gasses me up. He loves to remind me how I used to care and how I used to be really good. And he's like,
he did used to. You're absolutely right, Hitman.
And he reminds me of
him. I got to be careful. I don't know who at the University of Memphis is listening. I know a few people got their eyes on me trying to figure out who I am and everything, how I get my info, but I'm not worried.
So let me just ask you this. I'm not going to pry into your identity because I know that's very important to you and you know I wouldn't do that. But what I do think a lot of people are wondering is, you know, why are you and again, there's probably some things that you can't say, but why is your interest in Memphis, right? Like, I know you have national context, but you seem to be very interested in Memphis. Is there anything you could sort of shed light on in regards to your reporting on Memphis?
Yeah, so I grew up a Memphis fan, and I've always had an interest. I think that's pretty much it, though. I mean, I just grew up a Memphis fan.
Okay.
So I think if I reveal anything else, it's
for sure.
Put my identity out there.
So you grew up a Memphis fan, and what was it about Memphis that made you a fan? Was it like a player? Was it a coach?
It was the Cal years. Okay. I've got family ties to the university, so I was kind of raised as a Memphis fan, but I mean, I grew up during the Cal years. Actually, my favorite player growing up, it's kind of not the biggest or the best player, but Will Coleman was probably my favorite player growing up. That's who I played basketball like on the court. So
you played basketball like Will Coleman?
You play like Will Coleman.
Yeah, that's who I tried to emulate. I'm not near as big as Will Coleman, but that was kind of my style. Playing basketball growing up, and you know, I'm a film junkie at heart as well, which is why I started putting out mixtapes. And then when I have free time, I make a few calls and put out some info that fans will find interesting.
I'm
blown away.
I think the most revealing thing of the entire interview was going to be that you emulated your game
like
Will Coleman. Like, I think that's the first time that's ever been said. Like, I love Will Cole. I'll respect the Will Cole, but so what is that? What does that mean? You just like dunk on everybody, like, because that was what he did.
I was a bruiser.
Okay,
I was a bruiser. I was tough, always hustling.
Okay,
I wasn't the best off the dribble. Wasn't the best shooter by any means. I was just tough on the court.
So you have dunked, you're telling us.
I cannot confirm nor deny that.
Okay. Interesting. Yeah. So you're saying, you're trying to get into the nitty gritty here. Well, a lot of people are. Let me just ask you this. You're.
He sounds like a white dude.
I don't want to profile.
That's stereotyping. Right?
Sorry about that. Our producer is.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to.
You can tell
I interrupted.
How excited
no,
he is
I'm not
this.
Outing him. Like, I don't know.
Well, I'm just not going to profile. We're certainly not going to do that. You know.
I'm sorry about that.
He thinks it's Jay Huff.
Right, yeah, exactly.
Can you confirm whether or not you're Jay Huff?
Yeah, are you Jay Huff?
Jay Huff. I do not have that name in my contact. So.
Okay. Yeah, there we Jay Huff has no yeah. U of M ties.
Okay.
All right. Well, listen, there's quite a bit to get to, and a lot of people are listening and are intrigued. I did want to ask you, last thing on you before we get to some of the things that you've reported. You know, protecting who you are is clearly imperative for you. So the idea that you would agree to a radio interview using your voice is kind of fascinating. Is it just that you don't really think people can identify you by your voice? Is that what it is?
I mean, I host some Twitter spaces, so my voice has been out there for a little bit.
Okay.
My main thing is I want to keep my name out of the news and what I do. I want to, keep my personal life private. And, just having this identity online as Hitman Hoops. So,
let me ask you this for John, and you've reported plenty, and we want to get to it. I just, having covered it so closely, and you mentioned you came up a Memphis fan, just the job Hitman that you think that it's something John and I discuss all the time, right? Something that's on the minds of Memphis fans and us radio and TV. The job you think that Penny Hardaway has done so far, what would you say?
I've discussed this a lot recently, actually. I would say that definitely. So Penny has the attributes to be an elite coach. Mm-hmm. It's whether he ascribes to the fact that, he should value other people's opinions, other people's perspectives. And I'll get into that on the staff as well. But he's got everything he needs to be an elite coach. I mean, he's got his own personal branding, which you don't see other coaches. You see that with Deion Sanders now, but he's got his own personal branding. He has an elite understanding of the game of basketball. He's got everything he needs to be an elite coach. It's just whether he shoots himself in the foot or not. And, there have been several instances, throughout his tenure at Memphis where, he shot himself in the foot. So I do think, he has the potential to take Memphis to, where close to where it was during the Cal years. Obviously, different environment now with NIL. I do think Memphis has the support from donors. I do think it can definitely improve. And, it will improve, once they see an on-court representation of success for the program. But, I think my final answer summed up in maybe a sentence or so is that he can be elite. It's just whether he wants to be or not.
Right, and making the decisions that come with that.
Yeah.
And one of the things I think goes into that is you reported that there was earlier this week a divide between Penny and Rick Stansberry, who's obviously his lead assistant. Rick was not at practice. I think this was Tuesday. What's the latest? What can you tell us in regards to has that been patched up? Are you expecting it to be patched up? Like, what's the latest?
Yeah, so there – and we talked about this a little bit, John, off the record, but normally in staffs across the country, you're going to have disagreements. You're going to have some altercations about, the intricacies of, defense, offense, just schematically related disagreements. But, this was something other than that. This was something that was, it actually had Rick Stansberry on the outside looking in. When I first reported that news, I would have said there was probably a 75-80% chance that Rick Stansberry's not coaching at Memphis next season. However, there has been some pretty good progress made yesterday and then today as well on that end. So I'd put it more as 50-50 right now. It's still up in the air, but his absence on Tuesday was directly related to the divide between he and Penny.
Interesting. The other news you reported that Memphis is, talking with Texas transfer Artario Morris, former Memphis commitment, obviously, we know well from back in the day. I'm curious, it's like a two-parter. What do you think of the roster he's got, and then just in terms of the news you reported, what Morris would bring?
Yeah, and I know we say this every year in the roster, but I really do believe in this roster. I'm not sold necessarily on the fit yet because I haven't seen an on-court product. Obviously, I can only go based off what I've heard, but I do think this team is going to be better than, a lot better than last year's team. I do think they have a lot more talent than last year's team. I mean, if we look at last year's team, they really only had one true ball handler in Javon Quarley. And this team, if they add Morris, they've got Haggerty, Hunter, Morris, and then Baraka as well. That's four capable ball handlers in your backcourt. Not to mention four guards that are, you know, capable of producing above average defense with Hunter. You know, he almost won Defensive Player of the Year in the Big 12, averaging close to two steals a game. So I really like the backcourt. The front court is really solid. There's no one that stands out in the front court. They're going to split minutes between Cisse and Dane. I do think Dane starts, from what I've heard, but they're going to split minutes between Cisse and Dane. And, you know, you might see Tyreek Smith at the small ball five, but as of right now, he's looking like he's going to start at the four. So, and they've also got Jordan coming back. So their front court, again, is really solid. No one that really stands out. The wings, you know, there's a lot left to be desired from the wing standpoint, but I do think Kobe Rogers is capable defensively on the wing. We know he's going to be good offensively, but I do think I do worry about his defense, but I think he can be capable defender defensively. And then PJ Carter as well. I mean, he's a really good value pickup in Carter. I think he'll play a little bit more than people are expecting, and his shot has looked really good in the offseason so far, practices.
We're talking to Hitman Hoops, is Memphis basketball analyst on Twitter, at Hitman Hoops. I want to run something by you. I saw a survey up at CBSSports.com about a week ago of coaches who were polled about NIL, and Memphis got the highest votes of any team outside of the power structure. I actually followed up with GP about this because, and you know this as well, depending on the day, Memphis either has amazing NIL or they have no NIL. It just depends on whether or not they get a player or not as to the answer. But the way that GP explained it to me was that the perception around the country is that Memphis can throw more money at one given player. They may not have as much to go around, but if they really lock in on a player, they can throw the most individual amount at him. And that's why he believes Memphis got 4% of the vote outside the power structure. What's your understanding and assessment of Memphis's NIL situation for basketball? How good is it?
I would say it's top 15 is what I would say. I would put it more in that 10 to 15 range, you know, where it was. I do think that poll is based off, obviously, you know, recency bias and factors into the poll. And then, you know, there's definitely quite a bit misunderstanding of which schools are paying which players, you know, what's actually promised, what's actually paid to those players as well, how those contracts are structured. I think all that plays into the perception that coaches have of other programs. I will say that, you know, Arkansas, BYU, those are probably your top two for last season. Again, it differs so much between each season. If you and they noted that in their article as well. I mean, if you have a new coach coming in, your boosters are going to rally around that, and you know you're going to have more NIL for that season. So I really think that poll was, you know, recently, but I would put, given what, you know, I know of the money situation in Memphis and what they've paid for their players, I would definitely put them in that 10 to 15 range, and I do think they're it's a strong donor base, and it has the capability of becoming even stronger. It's just, it really depends on how the university, the AD, the new AD, how they want to prioritize NIL. I know the last AD was very old school style thinking. He was late to modernize NIL at Memphis, so that definitely held them back a lot. So I'm definitely interested to see how Ed Scott's going to handle it. So I think they can become an even stronger donor base. And this is for basketball, respectively. So football, right. I'm not that in tune with on the NIL side. I know there's different collectives for each sport, but 901 Fund handles football. So I know for basketball, though, 10 to 15 range is where I put it. So I'd say it's pretty accurate.
We know how important Stansberry's been in terms of NIL, everything else. I'm just curious, Hitman, what do you think about the rest of the – I don't even know that I'm quite sure. I mean, because I've seen conflicting reports, but are we expecting it to be Mike Davis and Nolan in the other spots? And in terms of the moves themselves, what have you thought of them? In terms of going right to what you said, their ability to help Penny sort of become that elite coach.
Yeah, so as far as the assistants right now, Mike Davis, he currently under contract that came from Detroit Mercy. So he was currently under contract. They were working that out.
Yep.
And then once they finalize that, he'll be moved from consultant to an assistant spot. As far as Nolan Smith, still, I know it's been a while. They've been working on this for 3 to 4 months. But the expectation that he's going to be on the staff and timeline of a week is what I last heard on that, but okay. To check in on that. So, yeah, I think Nolan Smith's going to provide a lot of value to the staff. I know people are going to question, you know, the rumors about what happened at Louisville. I will say that from what I know about that situation, that a lot of those are unfounded,
okay.
Exaggerated on Nolan's behalf. He's got a great reputation in the industry. Mike Davis as well, head coaching experience really well. I do think those two are going to provide a lot of value to Penny. I'm just not bought in on Faraji Phillips, Jermaine Johnson, Jamie Rosser. I'm not bought in on those three. I think they're subtracting more than they helped the university and the program.
Wow. How so, Hitman? Just how are they detracting?
Well, so Faraji, he was demoted at Vanderbilt, demoted again this year. Just based on the coaches I've talked to, the reputation he has, they don't think he belongs as an assistant spot on a D1 program. As far as, you know, Jermaine Johnson, people applaud him for his defense. However, when he was brought in last year, they worked on defense for about a few days. It was 2 to 3 days, and they totally scrapped it. So, you know, even if you were to applaud his defense, it's not being used at Memphis, and you can speculate as to why it's not being used at Memphis. And then as far as Jamie Rosser, dealt with the previous show cause, was under academics last year for the basketball team, and we saw what happened with the whole academic investigation. So I do think it's my honest opinion. I do think they subtract more than they add to the program. I'm sure they're great people, but from an objective standpoint, I would say adding Nolan, adding Mike Davis, Rick Stansberry on staff, those three are going to help Penny out a lot. So,
and then finally, because you mentioned it, what can you say about, you know, the academic investigation? We know that other shoe is going to drop at some point because it has not been answered for by anybody. It was just like Malcolm's away from the team, but we know it's just not that simple. At some point, you know, the chickens will come home to roost in that regard. So are you expecting something ultimately to on that? What can you tell us about the academic investigation and the Malcolm Dandridge situation?
Yeah, you know, it's an ongoing investigation, so we got to be careful what I say about it. But I will say, and I can say, that they're investigating more than just the academic violations, alleged academic violations with Malcolm Dandridge and others on the team last season. They're investigating incidents prior to the alleged academic violations occurring. So we're talking 2022-2023 season as well.
Okay. Good grief. And you're on probation. You're right. I mean, that's it.
Yep. Already on probation. NCAA is going to take that into account. I'm not, you know, in tune with specific punishments from the NCAA, but if I had to gauge, my gut tells me it doesn't look pretty for the program. Again, we'll see what the NCAA, you know, what they can find that sticks, you know, what kind of evidence they have, but again, from the allegations they're investigating, it doesn't look pretty for Memphis.
Well, man, this was great.
Bro, this was
overdue.
Fascinating.
And appreciate you coming on and sharing with us a little bit of what you do on a daily basis, man.
Warm it up as hell.
You know it's all love here on the show, man. So appreciate
Thank
the time,
boss.
As always.
Respect.
Hey, one more thing. We might be hearing some news soon on Ontario. We'll say that.
Okay. Yeah. And by the way, I'll say this on him. I think the people in your Discord are being a little hard on him. I mean, I understand that. I understand that. He was charged or associated with things, but he was cleared of those things or pleaded to those things. We live in a society where if you're cleared of things, you're cleared of things. It's not really our place to judge. If someone has done or something or done nothing. If we have an investigation and that's why the justice system exists, right?
Yep.
So
that's why I use allegedly for everything. Now I'm not in the investigation. I'm just reporting what I hear.
No, I liked your line there with the Memphis football player. Even your source alleged that something happened allegedly. So just one allegation after another over there with Hitman Hoop. So hey, man, appreciate
it. Real quick, I will say on the football player that. I will say in the football player, there is stuff that you can ask any player on the team. So I'll just say that.
Got it.
Taj Rael.
Got it. Do you know how much he got for the PS5 from the pawn shop?
he might have gotten ripped off, I think. That's what I heard. Allegedly.
that's what happens when you go to a pawn shop, dog. You get ripped off, okay? That's the way it goes. Hey, thanks, man. Appreciate it, brother.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me.
Yes, sir. He is Hitman Hoops. Memphis basketball analyst. So there you go.
Oh.
So now you guys, the mystery has kind of been pulled back a little bit, hasn't it? Did you guys like it better before or now that you've heard the man?
Oh, no. I love
it. I like it better now.
Okay. So.
I got four texts during the segment.
Yeah.
Ooh, Peter.
I've known him for a couple years now. You know, I've dealt with him a lot off the air.
Best part of the interview? No disrespect to those wonderful people over there. The real talk analysis component of it.
He definitely did not mince words about the
bullets.
Staff. So, I mean, yeah, there's no doubt about that. I felt uncomfortable. I'm like, damn. And I think I tend to keep it pretty real. I'm like, damn.
Oh. Thoughts are not those of the station or the host.
I thought I might push back a little on Jermaine and say, maybe it was personnel. But then he said they're not running it this year.
Yeah.
And so there is no pushback if they're not running it.
That hurts. That hurts.
That hurt me.
That hurts.
Shout out to y'all and John getting him on the air today.
Oh my gosh, so plugged in.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't.
Nice
I don't,
Thursday treat.
I didn't like the whole coming on and saying that he's me and my prime is if my prime. I guess I'm out of my prime.
Over.
I guess it's over. Yeah.
Yeah. That's what he's reminding
went.
You of.
2012. It came and went.
But you inspired him and you inspired.
He has told me that
it
in the past.
Like, it sounds like
I hope
some
he
degree.
Is being genuine. Yes. Because I definitely think very highly of him. Anyway, appreciate
that. He's good on the air, too. Like, he's sharp.
Yeah, no, he's really good. We may do that regularly.
I wouldn't endorse that.
Well, I mean, don't give him a show so fast, Brad. Good Lord.
I heard him for 20 minutes.
Hey, Jeffrey and Company.
Here we go.
Brother, 20 minutes, I'm sold.
Jeffrey and Company.
Just saying.
That's awesome.
Let us have him as a guest a couple more times before you give him a whole show.
The funny thing about
I heard guys do 20 shows less than that.
No, I agree with you. He was fantastic.
The funny thing about him, man,
he did not mince words.
No,
nope. like
and said. That's the best part of it.
He doesn't want to do media. He's not that's not his goal.
We need more people being real like that. I mean, that is fantastic.
That's the part of me that I think I find this the most fascinating. It's not trying to climb up a ladder at the paper or something else and trying to be like,
nope.
He's just doing it because he can.
Yeah. He's just doing it because he can.
This community loves that type of content because they love this team.
There aren't too many of those that are just doing it because they can.
World.
Most are doing it and having to stay on it because they have to.
I think the dude might be the next World Wide West, though. Like,
for real.
Like, he's giving me those vibes, you know. Now, you profiled him as white.
I shouldn't have done that, and I apologize to the listeners and to you for doing that.
You jumped right on it.
He didn't say five words.
He
could be biracial.
He sounded like Brad Carson. Like he was.
He does not sound like Brad Carson.
He sounded like a lot of the people that I would profile as Caucasian.
Well, who's to say?
Well, we do that on this show occasionally.
We do. I just don't want to put that on him.
No, I don't want to put that on him either.
I wonder if
Latino,
Faraji, Jamie, and Jermaine know who he is.
They probably want to find out now.
he did say they you know,
they're great people.
Great people. I mean, he didn't.
You know why they want to find
the
out?
Job they're doing.
You know why they want to find out? Don't
man,
you?
Facts. I'm like, bro,
friggin' bricks on feet.
Hey, wash your ass, man. Wash your ass.
No, it's all good. It's all good. Good stuff from Hitman. Appreciate his time.
Oh, well done, guys.
And you grabbing him.
And you know what? We're glazing, but I really do appreciate that he's not like one of these guys that has info and tries to cater to the pot. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, a lot of guys have info, but they try to be positive.
Right.
Because he don't care.
Exactly.
You know, which, again, I appreciate. Anyway, we'll come back. Anthony Sankin is joining us at 125. We'll talk to him about the Grizzlies, their moves, NBA, and more. Stick around. Jason and John, 99 FM, ESPN.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.